the first things that
when the person need those that he really elaborates on is that of Zahiros. We'll speak about what Zahiros is for the Ramchal, and we'll talk about its place overall. We're really today giving a little bit of an overview of Prak and Beis Gimel Dal and Hay and Mesil Shasharim. We're then going to speak about two alternate approaches to the topic that he relates to. What is Zahiros for the Ramchal? You can look in source number one, he writes as follows. The Ramchal maintains, we spoke about this a little bit a couple weeks ago when we related to the Yetzer Hara, that a person needs to be very careful about their actions. And for the Ramchal, what that means is a person has to contemplate and make sure that the actions they're doing are good or bad. The Ramchal elaborates at length through these four prakim on what exactly that means, how a person does it, at which stages in their, at which stages they engage in such activities, and he really does it at length. The Ramchal writes that, and this we know from last week, he told us that the Yetzer Hara works in one kind of a way, which is to color our vision of things, to keep us very, very busy at times, and then to color our vision. And the Ramchal maintains that one of the necessary prerequisites to overcoming Yetzer Hara is to be able to ensure that I have time for me to stop, reflect, and think, to engage in some form of self-evaluation and self-appraisal, that if I do that, I'm able to ensure that the things I'm doing, you know, are done well. If you look at source number two, so Matzel Zilber, in the Otzer Gilyonet de Beitonis, Yom HaMesil Sharon, points out the following as far as Zahiras. He writes that anyone that wants to seriously engage in the worship of God, so this is habasis v'akdam olchom arechas ha'avoda. This is the necessary prerequisite. Again, for the Ramchal, it's the first midah. From Prince Banyari, but Zahiras is at the beginning. It's a necessary prerequisite to be able to stop and contemplate one's actions. He writes that the asul harshul hargalativi, if you just allow it, sort of the habits to develop, so then a person can go in different directions. He writes, and this is important for us, that this is something, this midah of Zahira, says the Ramchal, says the Matul Zilver, is something which a person can acquire when they are younger, in a way that they are unable to acquire, or it's much more challenging to acquire at an older stage in life. That when a person's younger and you have not developed years and years of certain habits, sometimes it's easier to engage in a certain kind of self-appraisal. Obviously, it's possible at later stages of life as well. But at least at this stage, it's something which is a bit simpler as far as acquiring certain kinds of good habits, and to be able to think, for him, it's a necessary prerequisite for all avoda. How exactly do you engage in Zahiras? So the Ramchal relates to it in three or four steps as far as what a person actually does. Mesil Shasharim is a very practical book. We'll see when we talk about Menachem of Breslov a bit later when we talk about the Rav. For the Ramchal, he's very, very practical, and he really takes you through all of the steps in a systematic and structured way. The Ramchal writes as follows in source number three. One, first thing before you relate to your own actions, says the Ramchal, I have to contemplate ma'u atov ha'amiti. What is the actual good? I have to first have a certain value system. What are the things that I view as being good? What are the things that I view as being bad? What are the things that I view as being neutral? And if I establish a value system, that's the first stage of what I have to do. The Ramchal then writes, though, that when it comes to Zahiras, it's very intense what he writes, but first he says, I have to think before I do any action. Lifnei ha-maisa. I have to think, the action I'm going to do, is this something which is going to be, working with his view, is it part of the general chovas ha-adam ba'olamo? Is it something which is going to bring me closer to the bonus ha-olam or bring me further away? The Ramchal understands I have to also think, not only before I do a maisa, but even while I'm doing a maisa also, I'm contemplating again. So now that I'm doing it, I thought it was a good idea. And now that I'm engaging in it, am I still happy with it? Is it something which I'm proud of? Something which is very nice. And then he writes, also I have to do it. Shelo b'shasa ma'isa, in verse number three. Sheyala lefanav zikron klal ma'isa v'yishko osam. I have to think, once I've done actions, reflect back on them. So for Ramchal, first step is establish my value system. Next step, before I do something, then while I'm doing something, and then after I've done it. It's a constant sense of self-appraisal. We'll see that's something which the Rav had concerns with. But that's something which, for the Ramchal, it's a constant sense of self-appraisal done before, during, and after actions are done. And he raises it a little bit, even when here in source number 3, in the paragraph here, V'davar zeh. V'davar zeh hu diyunu chachmeinu zechonu levracha ba'amra. This is the Gemara Masechet Eirvin. Noach ol adam shol never yos mishnevri. Gemara has a machlokas there in Eirvin. Is it better to... Would it be better for man to have never been created? It's a depressing kind of statement, because we conclude with... Wouldn't better not to have been created? Okay? That's one of the, you should know, that's one of birthdays and discussions about the status of birthdays. So this is one of the Makaros that gets quoted. Are birthdays a happy or a sad thing? So the Gemara teaching us that really would have been better never have been created is one of the indications that maybe birthdays aren't that great. And this is the other, the only person who has a birthday in Chumash is?
Para.
So there are some, I live in great fear of sharing it ever with my daughter, who is a Kokubo focused on... On her birthday. That's my father-in-law. No? Good family reference? Okay. Venera, so he says as follows. It's better to not be created than be created. V'achshav shenivra, and once you are created, yifash meish b'maisav, v'igidam yimash meish b'maisav. There are two different things he mentions here. Yifash meish b'maisav and yimash meish b'maisav. What's the difference between them? So that's a discussion you have in a lot of different Bali Machshava, the Ma'or V'Shemesh has a pshat. That he quotes, the Ramchal argues it means as follows. And this is where, again, the self-appraisal is so intense for him. Step one, yifash beish b'maisav, to think about my actions and say, were they good or bad? That's step one. Okay, let's think of like an example. I didn't bench when I just ate right now, so I'm stopping to think about it, and I realize that wasn't so good. That's yifash beish b'maisav. I look back at my actions and I say, okay, I forgot to make a bracha rishona. I didn't make an asher. Okay, I didn't make an asher. Yeah, sorry. That's yifash beish b'maisav. Yimash beish b'maisav means something else, says the Ramchal. Yimash beish b'maisav means that a person has to contemplate even the good things that they're doing, how they could be better. That, okay, I did bench after I ate, but my question now, the zahiris is, so how could I have benched with more kavana? I did say asher, but how could I have done that in a better way? That for the Ramchal, again, it's so sweeping and so intense. It's, if you read Maseilas Yesharim, you get the feeling that relaxing was not very high on the Ramchal's priority list. You know, it's not like, we spoke about this, we read this a couple of times, where cooks, you know, machloket between the Chovos Lavavos and the Raivim. Is there something called middle ground? For the Chovos Lavavos, everything's either good or bad, depending on what brings Ratzon Hashem. For the Raivim, no, there are situations where something is called neutral. It's kind of in our conversation on... out of Hanukkah thing. Something that should be called neutral. You know, it's like when I asked as the extra credit on the last Bechina, which I don't grade and I don't know why extra credit, whatever. But something like, would God care if I had Twitter or didn't have Twitter? So, you know, one of the guys answered, I don't think God has an opinion. Meaning, is there something called a middle ground? Where there's not, for the Ramchal, he would never answer like that. For the Ramchal, everything has to be weighed, everything is measured before, during, and after. And after, says the Ramchal, it's not just enough to question, did I do something right? Did I not do something right? But for the Ramchal, the ultimate question is, looking, could I have even done the good things better? Could I have done the good things better? The Ramban and Tar Gemul has a similar discussion, but that's for the Ramchal. If you look here, so it's a lot of time, and then he ups it again. The last paragraph here in source number 3. Klalo shel davar, says the Ramchal as follows. Tzarich adam liyos mizboni besichlo tamid bechol zman uvizman kavuolo bisbodedip. Now we have two tiers, says the Ramchal. You have to always be weighing and measuring your actions. You have to always be doing that. Plus, you have to have set times where you really do it. I have my general contemplating my actions. How am I doing a certain kind of self-appraisal? But, says the Ramchal, also I have to have Bisman kavuolo bispo. I have to have a set time when I'm thinking. I have to have set times when I am engaged in these kinds of questions. How am I doing? Am I happy with where things are at? The Ramchal happens to maintain. How does a person do this? So he tells us he has in the next parakim in Dalin Hey, he tells exactly different discussions of how you do it and what you remove to do it well. He writes that Torah is very helpful for this. Why is Torah helpful for Zahiris? Torah may be the days of heroes, is a lesson in the Gemara. Why is Torah helpful? Huh? Okay, so the question is, like, which Torah is helpful for Zahiras? Which Torah is helpful for, is Baba Kama helpful for Zahiras? Or is, like, Musar helpful for Zahiras? Very good, Gavi. You're about to say that, no? Playing chess on Nitalnach is helpful for Zahiras, yeah.
It works, yeah.
So the Ramchal here has two different formulations, and each, depending on your mystical leanings, you will buy one or the other. In the narrow sense, the Ramchal says the way to do this is to focus on Musar. He has a bit of an agenda here. The Ramchal thinks that looking at the Ma'amari Chazal to inspire a person directly to Yerushalayim is a way of doing it. He also seems to believe in a general sense that learning in a general sense is transformative. And learning in a general sense keeps a person, you know, can whether that's for mystical reasons or for some other purpose, is not entirely clear to me, at least from here. But the Ramchal thinks in general, learning Baba Kama is helpful for Zahiras. How that works, if it's purely mystical or not, the more Gemara that a person's learning, or the more Chumash a person's learning, or the more Halacha a person's learning, that all of those things just, they get you in a certain frame of mind, that they just make you more sensitive to things. But for the Ramchal, when we say Torah maybe lidei zahiras, that means in a narrow sense, that we're focusing on certain kinds of learning that make us more aware of things. It also means in a much broader sense. In a broader sense, there are things that we're trying to do in order to, that Torah as a whole has the capacity to do that. The Ramchal tells some things make it very difficult for zahiras, and that is if I am too busy, if I'm joking around too much, if I have a bad group of friends, all those things, that's source number five. But Akan the Ramchal, let me summarize the Ramchal in the following way. The Ramchal will highlight two or three nekudas that really give us his approach. This is the mainstream approach of Baalei Musar. Mainstream approach of Baalei Musar. The Ramchal understands as follows. One, zahiras is something which has to be done all the time. You are always engaging in a form of self-evaluation. Where am I at? How are my actions? What can I do differently? What can I do better? For the Ramchal, and this is very important, as we move to Rabbi Nachman in a little bit, there's no inherent value in the act of Zahiras. Zahiras does not bring me closer to God. It's not like if you do Zahiras, now that act in and of itself is an act of Kirpa. The only reason why I do Zahiras for the Ramchal is because it allows me to be a better Eved Hashem going forward. That if I engage in Zahiras, so now I will be able to be mekayim more mitzvos, to avoid doing averas. There's no reason why you have to do it per se. It's just a way of ensuring it's more preparatory, very, very critical, the necessary first step. But all it is a first step. It is, going back to Matul Zilber's line from earlier, it is the hakdama l'chom arechas ha'avoda. It's the first step in Avodas Hashem, but it's not the pinnacle. It's the way bottom of the hierarchy. The foundation of a building is important, but it's not much more than that. That's the Ramchal. The second approach we'll talk about today is the approach of Salvatrix. Briskers, as a whole, do not engage in the same form of like self-evaluation as the Baalei Musar. Brisk, Adi Yomazet, she was brisk in Yerushalayim, has no Musar Seder. It's a very different orientation as far as how that goes. The Rav wrote a book called Halachic Man. Let me give you a little bit of understanding of what Halachic Man is and what Halachic Man is not. What I'm saying right now is based on at least many. Anyone ever hear of a read Halachic Man? Ever read it?
What?
Halachic Man. It's not necessarily reading in the army?
They get mad with someone and then.
Okay, so Halachic Man is the Rav's description of the Isha Halacha. How the real person who's kol kulo connected to halacha relates to the world. The real person who's connected totally to halacha relates to the world. The Rav came from a field in philosophy. The Rav was doctor in philosophy in University of Berlin. Point yesterday a little bit. Who else was hanging out with him there? So the Rav, yeah, so the Rav is there in, so the Rav's influence in philosophy, one of the things they did was that they described typologies. They would describe a certain kind of person, and they would at length, and even in an extreme way, describe that kind of person. When the Rav writes Halachic Man, at least according to many, the Rav's not describing what he perceives to be the ideal Jew. The ideal Jew is broader and has other influences. The Rav's trying to describe in Isha Halacha what is like the person who's kol kula focused on Halacha, where Halacha is the primary value, how they relate to all things in the world, how they relate to it. That when, for example, what it talks about, when Halachic man walks outside, so when I look at those trees, Halachic man realizes, Tumas Oel. It's an Oel, Alpidin. When you look at a wall, the Rav writes, Halachic man doesn't see a wall. Halachic man sees, is it a Mechitza Alpidin or not a Mechitza Alpidin? I'm saying, you look at this, and your Halachic man's first question, wait, is it Mechitza or not a Mechitza? What's the status of this? Okay, how is that? Good Asa, good Asa, whatever, not a, that's how Halachic man relates to things. Halachic man is not, this is part of the mic, Halachic man is not crying at Tkiyas Shofar more than he's crying at any other mitzvah. He's not being like uniquely inspired. He's certainly not davening at a Kalbach minyan. It's not. He's not engaging in that bichlal. It's pure Isha Halacha. For Isha Halacha, the ultimate value, the name gives it away, is Halacha and rigorous Talmud Torah. Rigorous Talmud Torah is what it's all about. The Rav here recorded this piece a bunch of weeks ago. The Rav here writes as follows. He's talking about why in Brisk, in Velazhen, sorry, they didn't initially accept the Bali HaMusar. They didn't let the Bali HaMusar come into Brisk. The Rabbi Yisrael Zonder was trying to fix the world and have everyone start learning Musar. So he's going around and his Talmidim are going around. So he writes as follows. Why didn't they like it? Because he writes as follows. The emotion of fear, the sense of lowliness, self-negation, constant self-appraisal, always figuring out, this is what Ram Chal seems to be describing, constant self-appraisal, where am I at? The consciousness of sin constituted the primary features of the movement's spiritual profile in its early years. Early Bali Musar, it was, we talk about like Slobodka sometimes, like godless Adam, everyone's great. That is not early Bali Musar. Early Bali Musar, it's a little bit depressed, it's all Yiras Onesh, God's going to punish you and it's going to hurt. Nirvana. And you have to think, you have to sit in your own separate room and say the same Maimar Chazal and it's going to eat you up inside and it's going to be a little bit depressing and that's good. You should, you know, it's okay to feel low. It's okay to feel down. And you have to always cheshbon out everything I'm doing. Is it good or is it not good? So he writes, the halachic men of Brisk and Velazhen sense this whole mood pose a profound contradiction to halacha. This whole notion of constant self-appraisal, of always trying to figure out what the Ram Chal seems to be describing, before, during, and after, having always it on your mind, plus set times when you really focus on it, all those things, says the Rav, for the many of the halach men of Brisk and Velazhen, posed a profound contradiction to the halacha and would undermine its very foundations. Halachic man fears nothing. This is the intense line right now. If a person has sinned, the Isha Halacha, you sinned, I have a chiyuv called tshuva. If a person has sinned, then the Halacha of repentance will come to his aid. One must not waste time on spiritual self-appraisal, on probing introspections. Such a psychic analysis brings man neither fear nor the love of God, nor most fundamental to the knowledge and cognition of the Torah. The Rav here describes in Isha Halacha, again, a very extreme formulation. We'll see if the Rav himself believed in this. But a very extreme formulation. You learn Torah. You're Mekayim Mitzvos. When a Chiyuv comes up, you do the mitzvah. If you sinned, you do tshuva. But you don't have to always be cheshbonning out like, okay, we're doing more this way or that way. It's such a, I mean, he has the line here even at one point. It's such a waste of time, says the Rav. It's such a waste of time. Why is it a waste of time? He says, the Rav argues, I think it's fascinating. He says, it doesn't increase Avas or Yiras Hashem. And he says, it's taking away time, it's bittul Torah, it's taking away time from learning. You're going to sit there, the tzaddik type, and you're going to sit there and you're going to be cheshbonning your things. The guy next to you is learning Sechas Yuma. And that guy is now, he's engaging in the highest act as far as the hierarchy goes. The constant self-appraisal the Rav describes here has the potential for real negative fallout. Real negative fallout. Quick show of hands. The constant self-appraisal increases Avas Nir Shashem or decreases it? Who thinks increases it? I'm asking for the Rav's take on it. The Rav thinks it's a relevant factor.
Are you asking what
they think? Yeah, no, what they think. You think it? Who thinks it is constant self-appraisal, what the Ramchal describes, it increases avas and yiras Hashem or not?
Maybe yira not.
Who think? Who agrees with the Rav on this? You agree on this?
I think so.
Great. Thank you. I don't think the Rav agree with the Rav on this, but we'll talk about
that. It's a very detached way to look at it.
Say that.
You think about it, it's very detached because, yeah, there's Yira, yeah, there's Yira involved. Yeah, you're depressed, but at the same time, all these emotions are, you want to come, there's a reason for that. Because you want to come closer to Hashem, and you want to have a relationship with Hashem, as just the fact that, yeah, oh, I'm going to learn all day long.
Great. Meaning, one thing that the Rav is noting here with the Ramchal, could be the Ramchal, this is Tzvi's point, I think, from before. The Ramchal may have agreed to some of what the Rav said, that it may not be, not all of it, but the Ramchal may have agreed that it's not going to directly, it's not the same level as Torah. It's not the same level as other things. But the Ramchal, like I said before, Zahiras is a necessary prerequisite to Avodas Hashem. It's not a question of like whether it directly is the best, not the best. But part of the discussion here, whereas for the Ramchal, it's a constant self-appraisal and self-evaluation. For the Rav, in Halachic Man at least, Halachic Man does not engage in this that much. Halachic Man, this is not what you do. You know what Halachic Man does? If he sins, he does tshuva and opens up the Gemara once again. That's what he does. That's like Halach Man, if you want like an example of this, he tells he has the Maisa in Halach Man, that one night, one year on Yom Kippur night, so in the people think on shul a lot in Europe. One of the reasons was because only place with heating. Only place with heating. So it was a good place to hang out. I think it was a yeshiva, there was a certain yeshiva that was very elitist, and the heater was in the middle of the Beis Medrash. We don't do stuff anymore. And however good you were in learning impacted how close you got to the heater. Like if you were really if you were really good, so then they would tell you, okay, you could sit at the yeshivas even more recently that had tables where like the better guys sat at those tables. It's a real elitist kind of a feel, and maybe yeshivas that, you know, a couple centuries ago were, or even now, are a bit more so the Rav has a mice of one night, I think I was on Yom Kippur night, the Rav was saying Tehillim with a lot of the, saying Tehillim is a very chashuv and holy thing, and a lot of the, they have a lot of, even the Rishonim is very, it's very, very chashuv, the Midrash, and even talk about it a little bit, and I think of Moshe Salvechik came up to the Rav, closes Tehillim, and said, if you want to, you know, be Mekabel to Shayom, here's a Gemara Yuma, you know, to learn the Kachim Stafi Boz Kohen Gadol. But that's what you do in Yom Kippur. So, meaning halach, there's not the same kind of like spiritual general thing, but it's much more narrow. So, whereas for the Ramchal, it's something which is constant and very, very important. For the Rav and Lachman, it's not. The only thing I'll say, it's not at all clear the Rav at all believes in this idea. The Rav and Halach Man is describing the Ish Halacha. The Rav himself is a big believer in the need to engage in self-appraisal. He does it in at least two or three contexts. One, as an example, the Rav seems to think, here's a nice summary in verse number 7, that the Rav thinks that tefillah, it may not be a separate time. The Rav thinks that, as somebody shown him in Bali Machshav, I think, the act of tefillah is not just an act of me davening to Hashem, but it's transformative for me. That part of the act of tefillah, when I stand before the Ribono Shel Olam, is thinking about where I'm at and contemplating, am I happy with where I am? As I stand, Amida Lifnei Hashem, so it's reflecting upon self. The Rav has a similar discussion in regards to tshuva. There he does talk, in Al Tshuva in the beginning, there is value in reflecting on self. The Rav also in regards to suffering, Kol Yidofek. When there's suffering that occurs, the Rav thinks my reaction is not, why did it happen? The Rav thinks my reaction is, what can I do differently now? And that requires a degree of self-appraisal. But the Rav and Halachic Man, at least, highlights a very different approach. We've seen two approaches so far. We'll now go to the opposite extreme of the approach of Nachman of Breslov. We have the middle approach of the Ramchal. It is very, very important, and it's constant. That's obviously, in a certain sense, extreme. But it's also something which is preparatory. I need to do it to be a better Ovid Hashem. The Rav and Halachic Man expresses severe, significant hesitations. Rabbi Nachman and Likutei Moran has a very, very different approach. Rabbi Nachman and Likutei Moran is, I would argue, the opposite extreme. When he talks about something called Hisbodidus. I was in Tzfat for Shabbos. I think I was on Aleph, maybe. So I think this happened like in the middle of the meal. It's possible in the middle of the meal, the Breslover guy I was at left the table to go do some Hisbodidus in the forest. Is that possible?
Yes.
That's possible? No, we don't think it could. I'm trying to think if that's like, that really happened, or I just remember it like that. I have no idea. I don't know. Okay. If I were my brother, I would just, you know, say with confidence and add some details to the story. That sounded really awesome. But, you know, family, gotta know. Yeah. Okay. So, exactly. So he writes as follows. The Rabbi Nachman's also talking about the value of being alone and thinking about actions. His bodidus, but whereas, let's say for the Ramchal, that takes place. The Ramchal talks to Michel Sharman, sometimes you have to have a mentor that helps you. Rabbi Nachman obviously believes in the notion of a tzaddik, but for Rabbi Nachman, the ultimate place and the ultimate act is being alone. We'll see that he says in the Kutim Aran and Siman Nun Beis, especially at night, especially somewhere secluded like in a forest, and it's you and the Ribono Shel Olam. And the way Rabbi Nachman describes it as follows, it's really wild stuff. And look where it falls in the hierarchy. His bodidus humaila elyona v'gedola min hakol. That would be called, it's unequivocal. This is the highest maila a person can have, is not the Isha Halacha's limit of Gemara Maseches Yuma. It's being alone, dehainu l'kvoa lo akol panim sha'o yoser, to have an hour or more, lizbode levado beizacheder o besada, to be alone in a field or in a room, ulefare shichaso beino levein kona, and just to daven and talk to God, just you there. Just you there. Rabbi Nachman, similar to the Ramchal, it does involve at times reflecting, it's a lot of reflecting upon where I'm at. That reflection is necessary. Look in source number, three, because I did it twice. Kutim Aran, it's been erased in test. Because the Adam misbodeid, umefarish shichaso v'tzaro lifnei Hashem yisbarach, I think about Hashem, I stand before God, I mentioned the sins that I've engaged to. The act of his bodhis for Rabbi Nachman does involve a degree of reflection. Am I happy with where I'm at? And speaking about God, I messed up here and I messed up there. And this bodhis for him is on the highest of madrigas. Also important to understand, for Rabbi Nachman, his bodhis, this is where we get into like a misconception about Breslov, his bodhis does not make me happy. His bodhis is heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking sometimes. Mitzvah gedol yod pesim chatamet. That's Rabbi Nachman's phrase, that you have to always be happy. It's Kutim Aran. So Rabbi Nachman thinks that this is, and Tanya, you have a similar kind of formulation. Those. Anyone learn Tanya Yomi now, or we stopped after the Bechins? How did the Bechins go? Great. Sorry, awkward question. Next guy. Loud. I hear you. Okay. So, I had no doubt. There's a brief time when it's healthy to have a broken heart a little bit. Says Rabbi Nachman, you have to get back into Simcha later, but it's okay when there's a gate in his bodhidus. Sometimes it's wonderful and sometimes it's heartbreaking. It's you just talking to God. It's out loud. Whereas for the Ramchal, it's quiet and it's thinking about it's preparatory. For Rabbi Nachman, it is something which is out loud. He even writes here in source number one in the Rabbi Nachman sections. He writes here, you should do it in your own language. Don't do it in Hebrew. Don't do it in Hebrew. Do it in your own language, because it'll be much more free-flowing. It'll be much more helpful. We daven in Hebrew, but when you're talking to God in his bodhidus, whatever language, he's talking here about Yiddish, whatever language you're most comfortable with, go with that language. Go with that language. And for Rabbi Nachman, this is the fundamental difference between him and the Ramchal. They're similar, and then I have to have time alone when I contemplate my actions and my relationship with God. The fundamental difference is not just the way I do it, by saying things or by being quiet. Not just that it's alone for Rabbi Nachman. On the hierarchy, it's not a prerequisite. It is very, very high up. It's l'malo mikol hamailos. It's one of the highest things you can do. Why is it so important for Rabbi Nachman? Why is it so valuable? So already we see a little bit for Rabbi Nachman, the notion of, a very non-halachic man-oriented approach as far as like the ultimate value being the Isha Halacha. You look at everything and like, so is the table, is it a mechitza or not a mechitza? Or you see a mountain and you say, is it a telemis lachit or not? You're thinking Maseches Eruvin. I think it's one of those examples. So like, is it 10 tefachim within the fora? Is it or not? Like, you know what I'm saying? That's how you look at everything. When you look at they say like, I think he even says it like, Reb Chaim was very scared of blood, but not Dam Mila. Because Dam Mila is not blood. Damila is a new, it's a separate halachic chalos. Like that kind of like a real, Rabbi Nachman, it's not all about the Isha Halacha viewing it like that. For Rabbi Nachman, it's about me and the Ribono Shel Olam. And that's one of the best, That's the ultimate Mila. Not me through Talmud Torah, the rigorous Talmud Torah, but me out in the forest at night in a secluded area if possible, Shah or Yoser, an hour or whatever, I stand and I think, me and God, and I talk to Him in a different language. Why am I doing that? So here he has a little bit of a, I think in different places you find slightly different indications of Reinhard Nachman, but I'll give you one, and this is it's a wild like Hasidic idea, but a classical Hasidic idea. It's one that the Rav did not agree with at all. But the ultimate thing you can do, we spoke about this once before, we talked about what's self, how I relate to self and what my job is. In the Bali Amusar, I am who I am, and my job is to rectify it and work with it as much as possible. A person is who he is, and my job is to engage in real avoda to become better, a better person. In the thought of the Rav, my job, and this is also very, I think the Rambam has indications like this, my job is to reinvent myself. My job is not to take who I am and to, sort of like just make it better. I'm supposed to try and I can become a new self. I can reinvent myself. In Torah HaChassidus, ready from the Baal Shem, Nachman's a big believer in this, the Chli Shearim also, my real avoda is losing any independent self. I'm trying to lose myself in God, in godliness. You can look at it here in terms of how he says it. There we go right now, hold on. In source number 2, let me read it for you, okay? And then we'll get some understanding what this means. Ach ikeris bodesu balayla, that's the best time to do it. And he writes as follows. V'gam tshichem aideis bodesus makum miyuchad hanuchot mehair b'derech echidi, its own place. And he writes, why? Because if I don't do it there, I can't really become connected to God. What do? V'sham yilech v'yis bodev v'yifne liba v'daita mikolos yom hazeh. Remove yourself from Olam Hazeh entirely. Go out to some field. Don't think about this world at all. Just lose all of your other emotions, all of your thoughts and worries about this world. Just have you and God. And part of your job is to then just essentially leave this world a bit. Just to be kol kulo focused, to lose any independent desires. Achiyavatel v'taiva acheres. Just to try and become kol kulo godlike. You're trying to just lose any sense of independent taiva, any independent leaning. You're going out to the forest, you're talking to God in your own language, and the ultimate level, when you're doing that, not for Ramchal, that it makes you a better Ovid Hashem later. For Binachon, when you're there, what you're trying to do is just to lose your sense of self. Lose your sense of self in the new Baruch Shalom. I'll give a mashal of where you may feel that. Again, this is not our world, the world of Rabbi Nachman. But I will, just, it's a mashal where you feel that. If you're ever at like a concert, not like a classical music concert, although it's possible there also, I probably is certainly there if you're really into classical music. When I had to go for like my music class in YU, it's like a classical music concert, I don't think I felt it as much. You're worrying about going to YU right now, no? Yeah. I was like, really? You got to do that? It was cool. You what? Really? Oh. So we have to like, happy, it was awesome. I really, it was cool. But you're at a concert. You're really into a band and you're at a concert. There are times where you can get so into the music that in a certain sense, it's like you lose your sense of self. You're just kol kulo in it. You're kol kulo, just totally involved. I imagine there are people who like, I wonder, do you have this with basketball ever? Like when you're in a game? I don't know. I don't have this basketball because like, I don't particularly care about it. But like, if you, saying, do you ever... I imagine, like, what?
With Rebbe's, when you're watching.
Exactly. Exactly. There's, like, so much, like, we're at the point right now where no one says anything that's not, like, somehow, like, pretending to be someone else as they, you're just being you and taking it on a strong. I hear. There are times that you lose your sense of self. You're co-culo in the event that you're at. Not thinking about any of your other concerns or worries. You're just in the music. You're just in it in that kind of a way. You can have that guy sometimes at a Friday night davening. Have sometimes I'm so in it. I would imagine that Donnie when he was leading Hallel. I imagine. No, I mean this in a serious way. I imagine Donnie was just really, really in it. I imagine he was just like cold. He was. I don't want to use terms like to be cute. a certain sense, like there's an experience of being one with it. Like he just, there wasn't the same sense of like, the same sense of self. Rabbi Nachman, his bodhidus is about just losing yourself to a certain sense with that spiritual experience. Rabbi Nachman is the ultimate value. Is the ultimate value. What we saw today is as follows. Let's try to give a brief chazara, just so we can review what we saw. Zehirus. For the Ramchal, one of the most important fundamental steps at the beginning of a person's avoda, zehirus. Contemplating self-evaluation, self-appraisal. Where am I really at? What could I be doing better? How can I improve? All of those things. It's constant. I'm questioning the bad things I did. I'm questioning the good things that I did. I think about it all the time. It is necessary for real avodas Hashem. And in a certain sense, maybe not with the same constant kind of a feel, that is the mainstream approach as far as avodas Hashem. That a person's supposed to think, not maybe not all the time. Whenever if I do something, I want to think, so it's good or bad. If I'm going to do something, I'm not haphazard with it. I want to think, is it a good thing? Or I don't have to weigh every... I get up in the morning, I have to weigh like crazy. So I was going to daven, a good thing or a bad thing. We do have an akudas habachira. We have a point in which we know is there anything, but a certain general approach to the Ramchal is the more mainstream approach. The Rav and Rabbi Nachman each hit a different extreme. For the Rav, in halachic man at least, self-appraisal, too much self-appraisal and things like that is very, very dangerous. It can bring a person down, can make them more lonely, and ultimately, it's not what life is really about as far as rigorous Talmud Torah and keeping halacha. That's what it's really about. Now, the Ramchal may challenge that, and the Rav himself may not believe that in other places in his writings. But that's one extreme. The opposite extreme is Rabbi Nachman. You're right. You have to reflect. You have to engage in self-appraisal at times. You have to talk to God about it for Rabbi Nachman. And this is for him, his bodhidus. For a real Breslover, his bodhidus is, I think it's one of the Neo-Hasidic menhagim also, I think. That's one of the things that Neo-Hasidic people do, if there's like a list of hanhagas. So I think his bodhidus is one of the things that you sometimes do. When I was a kid in Antis Vaikolo, my chavrusa, you have like an hour chavrusa with someone from like 8 to 9. So my chavrusa was in the writings of the Ishbitzer, we learned Meir Shiloh together. And we went, now the guy's like, he's a wild guy, the guy I learned with then. So we, a couple of nights, so we went, we learned Meir Shiloh out in the forest in Efrat, where it was at that time. That's like a half a step away from real his bodhidus, but it's even... The chassidically inclined sometimes do a bit of this, but it's very. I don't think I've ever really engaged in his bodhidus. But that's the kind of thing which for Binachman is the real sort of ultimate pinnacle to talk to God and to cultivate a personal relationship. We mentioned a couple approaches today. There's a good chance that there's not one approach that like sells us, and suddenly you're like that is. But there are definitely elements of all of this that put together, contribute to a very well-rounded Oved Hashem. That the approach of Rabbi Nachman, while maybe not where we're, from where at least the majority of us are ultimately headed, things like the notion of God is something that I talked to a little bit. It does cultivate a degree of personal relationship with Ribono Shel Olam. For the Rav, reminding sometimes God just like gets into business. There are guys sometimes who weigh things so much. They spend like, they'll spend 3 weeks debating how they're going to spend their afternoon Seder instead of like just sitting there and actually learning. You know what I'm saying? The self-appraisal sometimes, too much can be a little bit dangerous. And the Ramchal is the more of the mainstream, that's something which I think we all have to take a degree of. Contemplating our actions, a degree of self-appraisal to see where we are really at. Thanks so much. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Great Shabbos. It's all right. I'm not here with that. Yeah, guys.